Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and we have a great show lined up for you today. And it's all with your help. We ask you to call in with your gardening questions and also anything you would like to text. I will be happy to answer. I am just flying, I will tell you, Lizzie. I had such a great time at this conference. I'm going to be talking about it. The gardens that we visited, and I took over 2,000 photographs. It was just really amazing. People opened up their private gardens for us, and it was just a lovely time. But I'm glad to be back. Missed everyone.
Yes, we missed you. We're so glad you're back.
And that's where I get my design inspiration from, going out and seeing other ideas. And so if you would like to give us a call, it's 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let's hear from John Denver. We got the dirty word of the day.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is lignin. In our first hour, I discuss mushrooms and their ability to make linasses, which are enzymes that help decompose lignin found in woody material. This explains mushroom growth on fallen trees in the forest and other areas with hard-to-decompose organic matter. So what is lignin? Lignin is the main component of fiber in a person's diet. There is lignin in the wood in the person's house. The word lignin is a combination of the Latin lignum, which means wood, and the scientific suffix in, which denotes a neural substance. Lignin is a carbohydrate and a chemical compound that provides structure and support for plant life. Lignin in plants is found in and between the cell walls of plants, serving to bind cells and lend durability to plant matter. It is a vital major biological component of all plants, from woody trees to plants with freestanding stems to crunchy vegetables. In fact, it is the second most common biological material on the planet, the first being cellulose, which makes up the cell walls that lignin supports. Lignin is a huge source of sequestered carbon, accounting for 30% of all biological carbon and up to 30% of the dry weight of all wooden plants. This also makes it one of the most abundant sources of renewable carbon on Earth. So the dirty word of the day is lignin, and it's very important, and it is something that we can find everywhere we look.
That's very interesting. Wow. Okay. All right. Now I'm trying to figure out how I can use this in a sentence.
Yes. Mm. And so the lignin, so the mushrooms, you can tell that in their stem, they have lignin in their stems.
Okay. There you go.
There you go. So we talk about lignin. You can say, look at that tree, the amount of lignin, that sequestered carbon in that tree is amazing.
And then somebody goes, unfriend. Kidding. That's good.
I get your point.
That's what I like about the dirty word of the day, is because you end up hearing stuff that you can actually use in conversations. However, you need to make sure you know the meaning of it.
Yes.
Because if you get called into HR about it, you can be like, oh, no.
you'll be able to answer the question on Jeopardy. See, there you go.
Thanks.
You know, for $500, what is the second most abundant source of carbon on Earth?
There you go.
And it's lignin. So if you'd like to give us a gardening call, we do have, I'm going to be talking about this wonderful garden that I was able to visit, and all the gardens I was able to visit. And it's just amazing that when you see the different plants, and I fell in love with two new plants I'm going to talk about. And we will discuss my zone envy. But if you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. I have some good questions here from Joy and from Frank I'm going to be answering. So you can get on the board, and we can discuss what's going on in your backyard.
What was the most unique thing that you saw growing, not at your event, but just driving through Michigan?
The corn was all up, so the corn was beautiful. Mm-hmm. But also, too, the hydrangeas.
Oh, I bet.
The hydrangeas were gorgeous.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm going to be making some hydrangea lanes at some client's house later in the year, so a hydrangea lane. And, the plants were beautiful, but they were, I'm talking about the tropical plants that we grow here. Mm-hmm. So you can go elsewhere and see them. And it's like what I tell everybody, that what you grow in the springtime up north, you can grow in the winter here, the stalk, the lobelias, you know, all the beautiful delphiniums and foxgloves. But also, too, they had canna lilies growing. They had all sorts of tropical plants growing that I'm going to be talking about. So I loved it. It was gorgeous. First time I've been to Michigan. We went to Grand Rapids, and I'm looking forward to telling you all about this beautiful sculpture park. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We're going to go straight to the phones. Let's go to Patsy in Tallahassee. Good morning, Patsy. How can I help you?
I was given a beautiful peace lily.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 3 feet tall, and I'm thinking I'm going to call it variegated because it has little white streaks in the stems.
Okay.
And at the tip of the longer stems, it gets a white petal thing at the top. Do I snip those off, or is that part of it?
Okay, so your spathiphyllum, your peace lily, is variegated. It's probably either a domino or a poly, and it's beautiful. The large ones are gorgeous. So the one you have that's 3 feet, that's beautiful. Now that's the flower at the top. It's called a spathe, SPATH, which is a former dirty word of the day. And you can cut it off when it turns completely brown. Okay, so you can go right down to the base of the plant, and you can snip it right there and take it off, and it will be just fine.
Okay, another thing, I noticed one of the petals has a small, it looks like a miniature ear corn.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's the spathe. Okay, so that's the whole flower.
Okay.
All right.
So just leave it alone?
Leave it alone. Yeah. You're supposed to enjoy that. And you might have 3 to 4 at one time. So, you know, if you keep it fertilized, it likes shade. In Tallahassee, I wouldn't put it outside. I'd leave it in a pot. And so you can take it inside if you want, or it's a great indoor plant.
It's inside, and it seems to love it where I have it. So I'll just leave it there.
Good for you. Enjoy it. And when the spathe turns brown, you can snip it off.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Patsy. Thank you for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. Let's go to Bill in Lake Placid. Good morning, Bill. How can I help you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
I have the Devil's Curse, also known as St. Augustine grass.
Tell us how you really feel, Bill.
My lawn is fine, except that it's also now into my garden, and I have to pull it pretty much daily as a weed out of my garden, or it becomes overwhelming within a week. Is there any way to get rid of St. Augustine grass out of your garden without harming the plants? I have a lot of edible plants, so I don't want to spray any chemicals.
Right. I would edge your garden beds or your raised beds area that you don't want the grass to go into with metal edging. That's about the only way you're going to be able to keep it out of there.
Metal edging, okay.
Metal edging, you can get it at the box stores or at a fence company. It's about 4 to 5 inches tall. You can buy a box of it that will do, you know, probably 30 to 40 feet with a box of the metal edging materials. And they come to like about 10 to 12 feet long. And so you can just get that, put the metal edging in. It'll make your garden look wonderful, and it'll keep the St. Augustine grass out.
All right. That sounds like a good idea.
All right.
The garden, most of my garden is raised up. It's like a perimeter around my house, about 14 inches high. And it seems to have gotten in there and grown up. If it's grown underneath that wall or that perimeter, that would be a lot more than 4 or 5 inches. Though,
yeah, it would. And I would suggest that you don't necessarily are trying to get rid of St. Augustine. It might be a weed that you're trying to get out, either torpedo grass or wild Bermuda or even some type of zoysias, you know, if you've got a mixture of grasses in your yard. I don't think it's St. Augustine coming up through the ground up into your raised beds.
It seems like some kind of viney grass because it kind of grows sideways and it has those roots that go along sideways instead of straight down. So when you pull them, you can't get them all out.
Right. Yeah, that's not St. Augustine grass. St. Augustine grass should come out easy or easier than that. So you probably have a weed. If you can take a photo of it, Bill, and send it to Better Lawns and Gardens or send it to me, teresa.watkins@live.com. Then I can identify it for you and give you a better description. It doesn't sound great. Like you have St. Augustine, okay?
Thanks, I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Bill. Thank you so much for calling 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us 23680. And so Frank from Brookville, he says we have approximately 500 square feet of area that is bare. We had St. Augustine there. We believe it was taken out by take all root rot. We're considering replacing that with perennial peanut. What are your thoughts about this product? We are concerned about weeds filling in the voids. If we plug it, it's too expensive to fill it completely. Thank you, and we appreciate your assistance. Well, thank you, Frank, for calling from the West Coast there. You should be a little drier there today. St. Augustine died with take-all root rot, then you might be careful about putting the perennial peanut in there too as well. I don't want you to overwater, okay? And so if you're over on the West Coast, if you're near a river and if it's really wet where you are and that you're not overwatering but that your St. Augustine is just so wet you get root rot, then be careful about what you decide to put in there. Perennial peanut is good if you have an area that gets full sun and is well-drained, okay, well-drained, and that you don't mind it going dormant in the wintertime, okay? So perennial peanut will go dormant in the wintertime. It does look nice in areas that are small and that can be kept dense. It does tend to get leggy in the full sun. It's not a favorite of mine, but I certainly do appreciate seeing it in cities and county mediums and commercial mediums where they grow it. It looks fabulous in the late spring, summertime. But then again, like I said, it gets dormant, can get leggy in too much shade. So if you've got full sun, it's well drained, and you like the look of it, I would say go for it. All right, Frank, great question. Joy in Winter Spring says, did you say mid-February and mid-August trim your bougainvillea? Mine is about 5 feet tall and 5 years old, I guess. Not blooming because I trim it monthly. How much should I trim it back? One, it needs to be the right plant in the right place, Joy. So if you're trimming it every month because it's going to get in the way of a sidewalk or get in the way of your house, it's not the plant for that area. You want to be able to put bougainvillea where it can grow and develop bracts. Okay, they're not necessarily flowers, but they have colorful leaves. Bracts are leaves, former dirty word of the day. And you can let it grow and be what it wants to be. And that means an area of 8 to 10 feet wide, at least, minimum, and that it can get to be 8 to 10 feet tall without you having to cut it. Okay, so bougainvillea gets very big. It needs a large space, and if it's in a small space and you're having to cut it often, it's not the right plant. Okay, so you want to make sure it's in full sun, that you reduce the water on it. Bougainvillea doesn't need a lot of water. And when you water it a lot, it grows a lot of leaves. The same with fertilizing it. If you fertilize it a lot, it's just going to grow regular green leaves and not develop those bracts. Bougainvillea is one of those plants that if it thinks it's dying, it's going to grow the bracts so that it can develop the seeds and so and flower so it can continue the species. Okay, so it doesn't need a lot of water. I would just let it get really dry. When it's stressed out from drying out, it will develop leaves or develop bracts, those colorful bracts. So how often should you cut it back? I would probably say twice a year if it's in the right location. If it's next to the house or in a small area and you're having to cut it monthly, it's not the right plant in the right place. Great question. Yes. Thank you so much. And do you have to wait till February? Bougainvillea is one of those plants that it gets so large that I would cut it only when necessary, no matter what time of the year it is. If it's established, it'll take freezes, so I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah.
It is mid-February and August would be a good time to cut it. Let's go to Jerry in Citrus County. Good morning, Jerry. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. I have this small, it's right now it's in a pot, the Angelonia.
Yes.
Alonia.
Uh-huh.
On there. How's it best to grow that?
Angelonias like full sun. They like watering maybe once a week or twice a week. They don't need a lot of water. And an annual, so they're going to peter out right around December, January. The frost is going to take them out. So it's something that only grows, for 6 months, 7 months out of the year. Okay. So if it starts to decline on you after a freeze, don't worry about it. But you can buy it every year. It's considered an annual.
Oh, okay. If I keep it, if it's warm enough, or I keep it in the pot and move it, under the ledge or something.
Yeah.
Will it continue to grow next year then?
It could. It could. You may get it to grow for 2 years, but eventually it's just going to decline because it just doesn't last as long and it's not going to continue to bloom. Okay. So it's considered an annual. You could possibly get it for 2 years. You can cut it back after it finishes flowering. Just deadhead it, and it'll rebloom for you again. Okay.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jerry. Thank you. Angelonias are wonderful. They're great in baskets and containers. I love them.
I looked them up because I have that wonderful spelling, not spelling problem. So I looked it up and it was like, oh my gosh, those are so pretty. Yeah,
they come in purple and pink and white and they are gorgeous and they do best. To me, Angelonias are kind of like Florida's snapdragons. They just have that look. They kind of have that look.
Yes.
Where you just group them all together and it looks good. But it blooms in the spring and the summer and the fall. And it's a really good choice for garden beds. If you get it to last 2 years, that's good. But just remember, it's just going to decline. There's nothing you can do about it. Not a long-lived plant.
I was going to say, it kind of looks like one of those. Like, it's like, oh, it's great as an annual, and then it'll disappear. But
yes.
If you get 2 years out of it, heck yeah.
Yeah, and Jerry will if he cuts it back. And we can get a lot of our... annuals like alyssum to last two seasons. I do that with my alyssum. I just trim it back and then it reblooms again for me in the springtime. So it's a winter annual, but if you trim it back, it'll grow in the summertime. I'm going to be back with what to do in your yard for September and give you some colorful plant ideas. So stay tuned. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I was able to go to our annual conference for the Garden Communicators International. This is a professional garden media organization that has people from all the green industries, vendors that sell garden products, but also to radio, TV, garden authors, writers, journalists. And we get together once a year and we get to geek out at gardens. We get to go crazy. And this year, the annual conference was held in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I will tell you, I was in heaven. But the temperatures were 90 degrees. I got off the airplane and off of the buses that we got, and poof, it would hit me, the heat and the humidity. 95 degrees
that
in,
was your
in
fault.
Michigan.
That was your fault. Was you took our weather up there, which we're very thankful for, because I don't know if y'all noticed the last couple of weeks has been nice. So.
It's been really, we had a cold front coming down. So yes. And so we were able to visit 8 private gardens. These are gardens just by homeowners. Some of them were large estates, but private gardens. We were able to visit 2 retail nurseries that we saw behind the scenes where they grow the plants, where they create new breeds, trial gardens. And then also we got to go to Michigan State University and see their gardens. And then Calvin University, they wetland ecosystem native garden. And then the Edward Meijer sculpture garden and a sculpture park. It was amazing. It was 159 acres. They had over 100 sculptures that they change out. And these are anywhere from a foot tall to 75, 80 feet tall.
Wow.
These, it was huge. And these gardens were beautiful. There was children's gardens. There was a Japanese garden in this area, in the sculpture garden. They had statues by Leonardo da Vinci. They have Rodin. Actual Rodin. They had Chihuly. Those of you who know what Chihuly was, I went for 2 days. We got to go when it wasn't open so that we could take photographs. And I literally took hundreds of photos there. And gorgeous. They had sculptures of horses. One horse was 24 feet tall, and it was a replica of Leonardo da Vinci's statue. And there's 2 of them.
Wow.
This artist, the sculptor, did 2. One is in Grand Rapids at the Edward Meijer Sculpture Park, and the other one is in Milan, Italy. And it was just incredible. I fell in love with 2 new plants. I have zone envy. I just have to admit it. Hi, my name is Teresa Watkins, and I have zone envy. And zone envy is where you want to grow plants that won't grow in your area, or maybe possibility. And so I won. Was a pancake juniper. So this one gentleman had conifers and all kinds of junipers and cedars in his yard. It was gorgeous. And but one of the junipers was so flat, and it was crawling, it was growing out onto the driveway. And it's called a pancake juniper. A pancake juniper. And it is it grows, it says, various growers have it in different zones, but that it grows 3A to 9B. Okay. Now, you know, the USDA has changed the zone chart, and so we're considered 10, but in my mind, I'm still 9B. Okay. The pancake juniper gets to be only 3 foot tall, but it is very flat, and it is a variety, a small dwarf version of the Juniperus horizontalis, which grows in Florida, okay? And so this is why I'm getting it, and I'm going to try and grow it. So it was introduced in 1990 because it was found in Newfoundland, and it is blue-gray foliage, and it creeps along the ground at a maximum height of 3 inches tall, and it beautifully echoes each feature of the ground below it. So in winter, the foliage is about 4 foot wide, takes on a purple hue, and it's truly charming. I am going to try and grow it. I am. And so I'm going to get it and see how it does, and I'll let you know. But it's called the Pancake Juniper, and I loved it. The other one that I saw that I fell in love with was a pine tree that only gets to be 3 foot tall, but it is called a squiggly pine. And it's called squiggles or curly pine. And the pine needles literally form a curve. And it looks all curlicues. And took my breath away. I went, oh, that's beautiful. So it too grows in zones 3 to 9. So I'm going to try and grow that and see if I can get some. And so,
what was it called again?
Squiggles. Squiggles or curly pine. You got to look at it. I've got some great pictures, so I'm going to be posting more of them from the private gardens, and you can see it. And so if you get a chance to go to Michigan, please visit the Frederick Meyer Gardens and Sculpture Park. And you won't be able to see it all in one day, but it is just incredible. And again, just another great place for a garden tour that I'm going to be looking at in the future. And we can see what we can do there. Again, the newsletter is out for September. And landscape malpractice is in there. My design tips on how to create an outdoor room. And then also my plant of the month, Costa Farms, and all kinds of great plants. You have to go check it out. And then torpedo grass in the ground. And my client was just so overwhelmed with it. And I understand completely, because if you get torpedo grass in your yard, your yard's a goner.
Oh, yeah. I know. I see that randomly and I'm like, go away.
Yeah. And so you got to get it out. There is no herbicide for it. And so you have to literally kill the grass, which we do have non-selective herbicides you can use, and they're safe for the environment to use as well. I'm going to be back with what to do in the month of September. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We have a few more minutes left for this last segment. To take your phone call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. So September is here, and what should you be doing this time of the year? Well, Nancy, she was in, in Merritt Island. She was asking me about colorful flowers to grow. So Nancy, here are some ideas for you. Agapanthus, Lily of the Niles, Ageratums, Angelonias, Begonias, Blue Days, Butterfly Weed, also Cat Whiskers and Celosia, Cleomes, which are old pass-along plants, Coreopsis, Cosmos and Firebush, Garas, Whirling Butterflies, Gazanias and Gerberas, Goldenrod, and Gomphrena. Heliotrope would be a beautiful purple fragrant shrub that you could put there. Impatiens and New Guinean patience, Jacobinia, Lantana, and Marigolds, Melampodiums, Nicotiana, which is flowering tobacco, Pentas, I love Pentas, and Periwinkles, Plumbago, Roses and Salvias, Sunflowers, Sweet Alyssum, Thryallis, Terrinias, Turk's Cap, Verbena, and Zinnias. Zinnias are doing really well right now. So those are some very colorful flowers that you can be planting this time of the year. What kind of vegetables? Well, you can be planting right now lima beans and snap beans, still be planting corn and cucumbers, eggplants, peppers, southern peas, rhubarb if you're in northern Florida, squash and tomato. Then at the end of the month, you're going to be able to plant arugula, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, celery and collards, endive and lettuce, mustard and onions and radishes, strawberries and neeps, otherwise known in America as turnips, and rutabagas. There you go. Let's go to Scott in Palm Bay. Good morning, Scott. How can I help you?
Good morning. I have shell ginger, mm-hmm. and a lot of the older blooming stalks are, of course, dying and dead, and new ones are trying to come up. Mm-hmm. Is it a good time to cut back those old stalks?
So, yes, you go ahead. August and September are good times to cut your perennials and your bulb plants back if they've already finished blooming for the summer. Yes, go ahead and cut them down. You can just cut them right down to the ground, and they'll come back just fine.
Great. I have a bougainvillea, and on the growing tips, it's kind of chewed. Do I need to spray 7 on those?
Do you see any insects on it?
Some of the leaves are curled, and it's sometimes little spider webs, but I never really catch anything in there.
Okay, because if the insect is gone, then there's no reason to spray it. I would just cut back those leaves that have been chewed on, and so you don't have to look at them.
Okay, one more quick footnote.
Sure.
I called a few weeks back about agastacea plants.
Yes.
And I had whitefly on them real bad, and I sprayed with 7, and it did nothing. I sprayed, and I called back, and you said, stop spraying so much. And then I said, I'm wondering if this 7 has been in my garage a number of years, if it's just lost its potency.
Right.
Well, that seems like what happened, because I bought fresh stuff now, and I sprayed it, and the bugs are gone.
There you go. Well, thank you for that update, Scott. I appreciate that. Yeah, always check and just throw it away. Make sure you do it responsibly. I appreciate that. All right, Scott, great job. Good for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, hon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I love it when they call back with updates. You know, if it's been in your, your garage, especially in the heat of the summertime, mm-hmm. always check the date on, the pesticides and herbicides you use.
Yeah, because we're kind of conditioned that, it's a chemical, it'll never go bad, or it's a fertilizer, it's this and that. It's not going to ever go bad, but it really does.
It does. Hmm. There is an expiration date on it. And just to be able to get rid of it responsibly, though, don't put it down the sewer.
Yes.
Or the drain, the street drain. There are days that cities and utilities and even fire departments take toxic chemicals. And just seal it up, make sure nobody can get into it, and then wait for that day. And make sure there's good air circulation in on it. So let's see. I think I've got everything. Okay, so let me go just the herbs that you could be doing. You could be planting anise and basil, bay laurel, borage, chives and coriander, dill, lemon balm, lavender. Saw some beautiful lavender in Michigan. Mexican tarragon. I love tarragon sauce. And mint and parsley, rosemary, sage, sweet fennel, sweet marjoram, and thyme. And so what should you be doing in the garden this month? Well, if you're going to be fertilizing in October, okay, most of the state of Florida is on a fertilizer ban. You can check with your county, check with your utility, your water department. If you're not on a ban, you can go ahead and fertilize more than likely, at the end of this month. It'll be a little bit cooler and easier on your plants if you do. But if you're going to wait until October to fertilize, get a soil test. You do not need as many chemicals, or nutrients in the ground as you think. You might not have to put nitrogen down. You might not have to put potassium down. Get a soil test and find out what your lawn actually needs. Okay? And then if you right now you can be planting your weeds. Keep track of those, not planting weeds. But you want to keep them at bay, which means removing them before they get really in-depth. Okay? Now, herbicides for weed killers. We don't recommend a weed and feed. Go ahead and do it separately. Fertilize separately in October and then use an herbicide separately. But you don't want to use herbicides when the temperatures are over 85 degrees. And that's because the weeds are stronger than you think. And they may get sick, but they're not going to die. It's not going to completely eradicate the weed. But your grass, it may harm your grass. They're not as strong and they're a little bit more delicate. Hesitant to say, but they don't like it and they may get damaged and your weeds will still be there. Okay, so you want to make sure that one, the weather's good. You don't want the rains to wash it away, so make sure you have some days that it's dry. And then also two, that you don't use it in temperatures over 85 degrees. So bahia grass, if you're wanting to seed your bahia grass, you've only got this week to do it. And I'm with the rains, I would, you know, think this is a good time to go ahead and get it watered. Bahia grass seed will only germinate when it is in warm temperatures. Anytime after the end of September, you're not going to have enough time to, except if you're in South Florida, I will say that. South Florida, it'll stay warmer all the way through December, January. But bahia turf is seeds for it. You want to do now, okay? Because as we get into the colder season, it's not going to do it. You want to change your mowing patterns on a regular basis. So if you're mowing one direction, then next week mow in the opposite direction. You want to make sure that you're not going haywire. With the rains, we're seeing a lot more ants. Are you seeing ants?
Yes, I just, it's ridiculous the amount of ants.
Yeah, and it's because the ground is too wet, and so they're coming more to the surface. Oh. But fire ants are frequently found in lawns, so you want to spot treat with bait, and then you can treat the entire yard as well. In the landscape, you want to make sure that you're walking your yards on a regular basis. Okay, walk it on a regular basis. Once a week, go through, look at your leaves on your shrubs, look underneath, look at the base, make sure everything is going well, that you don't see any insect problems, you don't see any disease problems. Check your rain shutoff device, your rain gauge, make sure that's working correctly, your irrigation is not watering the asphalt. Just note to some people out there, the asphalt does not grow better when it is watered.
What about concrete?
No, does not grow better. Okay. And also, too, you can get iron stains on it, too, as well. So you don't want to discolor. Make sure it's not hitting your house and that, you know, all of the irrigation is working well. This is a time that you can divide perennials and replant in the garden. And you're seeing a lot of chrysanthemums for sale now. I'd wait a couple more weeks, though, and get them in October. And so I'd like to thank you, Lizzie. Thank you so much, and all our callers today.
Yes, thank you. And thank you to our listeners. We have the best listeners in the whole wide world because you guys ask the best questions. And there is no such thing as a dumb question because, well, if you listen to me for about 5 seconds, then you know that I will beat you in dumb questions.
Can I have dumb questions for 200?
And they would say, Lizzie, steal. That would be the answer.
No, you have honest questions. Right. And that's, and there are no dumb questions. But if you have a question, you can go ahead and you can send an email through Better Lawns and Gardens, betterlawns.com. Mm-hmm. And then also to my webpage, you can do that. Go on and sign up for my newsletter. It's free.
Yes.
You'll get to see all the trips I take, where I'm speaking. And you can come join me. I love to take you on a garden tour.
Yeah, she has the link so that way you can go on and you can get with that travel agency and you can, you know, book it and they'll let you know the costs and whatnot for that. So, and it's really good because they set you up on a really good pricing. So
it is. It's great pricing. And I don't take large groups.
No.
So I only take about 20 to 22, 23 people. Mm-hmm. And we just have a wonderful time.
You guys really do.
Well, we do. Mm-hmm. I love gardens. I'm going to be posting more on my Facebook page, and I'll be posting them to Better Lawns and Gardens. Go on to our Better Lawns and Gardens website and like us. And then also, too, this is a great time of the year, especially with this rain, that you want to plant trees and shrubs. Check out Quality Green Specialist Nursery. Check them out. Big thanks to Black Cow and Howie Peterson of Peterson's Nursery. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, makers of Mosquito Bits and Mosquito Dunks. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed anything from this show, you can go to betterlawns.com, and you can catch all of our podcasts there. You can also email Teresa at teresa.watkins@live.com. She can accept your pictures of your growth or questions there.